Let's use in prayer the collect of today, the presentation of Christ in the temple. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our mortal nature, may we be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please take your seats. I was tempted to borrow a baby this morning. Fitting the age profile very well is young Caleb Oakes, but he may be sleeping, so I'm not going to bring him up and disturb him. But I don't know what you say whenever you meet a baby for the first time. Maybe you can see likenesses. I'm not good at that. Maybe you say, oh, she has her mother's eyes, or he looks like you, he has your nose, that kind of thing. Maybe you say, he looks as if he's about to boil over. I'm going to give him back immediately. Take him, thank you. What we do not expect people to say is this: now that I have seen your child, my life is complete. I can die happy because I've met this baby. But that's the gist of the reaction as Simeon met Jesus that day in the temple. And this morning we're going to spend some time reflecting on that moment when Christ was presented in the house of God. Thinking back to our psalm, that powerful idea of the focused presence of God that was in the temple until that special moment when something incredible happened. Just as we don't mark Easter without thinking about the ascension of Jesus, I don't think we really do justice to Christmas and the infancy of Jesus unless we think of his naming, his circumcision, the death of those other children in Bethlehem at the hand of Herod, the visit of the wise men, and then this occasion when Joseph and Mary made their way to the temple to mark the arrival of their firstborn son, God's son. Mary and Joseph were good parents, first-time parents, but wanting to do everything properly, wanting to do it by the book, despite the unique nature of Jesus' arrival into the world. They made sure that there could be no question over the procedure and the legal matters, that Jesus' birth would be proper in every way. So they followed the pattern. In the footnotes in the NIV, it tells us that in Exodus and in the book of Leviticus, we read about what was going on in the ceremony of that day. Jesus had already been given his name. He had been circumcised. Now came the time to redeem him, to mark the arrival of this firstborn child by attending the temple. And out of their poverty, because they weren't well-to-do people, they gave a sacrifice. You can read about it in verses 22 to 24. But it's what happens when they got there and the things said to them when they got there that we're going to focus on this morning. And we focus on them in the context of a series on sharing our faith. We start this morning. This series, it's going to lead us through the month of February. Now, as part of our movement and the developing momentum towards Mission 2015, as well as trying to really encourage everyone to pray more, we want to think about this practical question. How do we share our faith? We want our whole church family to be inspired about faith sharing, but also to be equipped to share our faith in Jesus, to know why it's important, why it's essential, and also how we can do it. And in this coming couple of months, there's going to be many opportunities to test our mission muscles as a parish, to reach out to share our trust in Jesus. Take the outreach with Christian Vision for Men this month. If you want to be part of that, see Basil. We're going to the rugby match Friday week, and then to bring some of the rugby players from Ulster down to the Brownlow Leisure Centre later in the month. See Basil about that. Sign up today. There's still an opportunity to be part of that. Then later at the end of the month, we have a team, all girls, four girls coming from Capernaum Bible College in England to draw alongside us to help us with outreach, not exclusively to young people, but there will be a children's and youth focus to what's known as the Code Red Outreach. And that's going to be the first 10 days or so of March, but they arrive on the 27th of February. And then into May time, we have the One Goal Mission. And speaking at the close of this service, the close of this series, at the end of February, we'll have Stuart Elliott here among us, a former international footballer who will be the key speaker at that outreach in May. And we will be helping to support that in lots of different ways, personnel as well as financial support to that outreach. And you'll hear more and more about that in the weeks to come. There will be a special lunch on that last Sunday in February to help raise funds for that as well. So we will be engaging in outreach on that level. And that's a good thing to do. But we also have a personal responsibility day by day. So what does it mean to share our faith in Jesus? Well, back in Jerusalem, the temple was being rocked by an encounter with Christ. And we see good news and faith being communicated in powerful ways. Something dramatic is happening. Back last autumn, we, as a family, had got a bit of work done to the kitchen of our own house in Fermanagh. Been a problem with the sink, so we got a new sink fitted, and the kitchen folks had been and fixed the sink in place, but they'd very helpfully left a notice on the top saying, "Hot tap not connected." They left it for a plumber to do. I thought I would do it. So I thought, well, that's pretty easy. I got the flexible hose thing, and I connected the hose together, and that was fine. And I saw that the little inline valve was closed. Now, knowing that it's called an inline valve does not mean I know what I'm talking about or how these things work. So I got the screwdriver, and I began to undo whatever you do with the inline valve. I was not prepared for what happened next. I would have been prepared if I'd been wearing a wetsuit and a snorkel. Thankfully, the water was just warm. It wasn't scalding hot. I was quickly drenched. Kitchen floor was drenched. My glasses were steaming up. I could not see what I was doing. I did what any sensible DIY person would do. I called Ruth. And she went and she turned the pressure down, and all was well, but all was very, very wet. Whenever we read Luke's gospel, and all the gospels in fact, we see the opening up of a prophetic tap. We see that something that has been seemingly stuck for four centuries, the word of God being proclaimed with power and authority, has not happened in Israel for nearly 400 years. But with the coming of Jesus, we see something radical and incredible happen. The overwhelming, overflowing force of God's word proclaimed with power. Worshippers, people of faith, cannot stop sharing our faith. We cannot stop telling of Jesus. These people, whenever they heard the news of his arrival, could not be silent. One after another, people are touched by the power of the Spirit, and they begin to speak with incredible insight. Zechariah, speaking about the birth of his son, the prophet John the Baptist. Mary, speaking about her son, Jesus. We spent those 3 weeks before Christmas looking at her words, the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. And now, Simeon and Anna, and Simeon's song recorded for us and used in worship, as we will in a few moments, the Nunc Dimittis. And I want to take those words of Simeon, not just from the perspective of the divine insight they give, but as his enduring testimony to the church. As you know, we're encouraging people at the moment to share testimony, to share what's going on in your lives, what God is doing in you. Simeon's words, while he's not an evangelist as such, act as a model of how we can share our faith in a fruitful and effective way. He's prophesying. He's speaking God's word to the people of that day. But his enduring witness tells us some things about faith sharing. It tells us that authentic faith sharing is always Christ-centered. That sharing our faith means telling the world that our eyes can be opened when we meet Jesus. That sharing our faith means telling the world that completeness in life only comes from meeting Jesus. And that sharing our faith reminds people that they have to make a choice about Jesus. Now, there's plenty more aspects of faith sharing that we'll share in the weeks to come. But that's enough to get our heads around this morning. Firstly, faith sharing must always be Christ honoring. Jesus is at the heart of it. It is for the purpose of helping people to know who Jesus is. Now, Jesus is clearly not saying much at a month old on that occasion when he entered the temple. But he is the key figure in this passage. Not Simeon who speaks, not Anna who speaks, not even Mary and Joseph, but Jesus, the heart of it all. When Anna begins to speak, she spoke of the child. She focused on Jesus, and she told people about him. The words of Simeon and Anna have endured. There's no big biography of the man. We don't know much about him. Many of us will assume he's quite an elderly person, but we're only assuming that because we associate him with Anna. We know, though, that he has sensed that the end of his life may be near. What we do know about him is he's righteous and devout, verse 25, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had Israel's best as his heart's goal, and that the Holy Spirit was on him. But his words tell us enough. His words tell us what's important to him, that he met Jesus and his life was changed, that his eyes were opened. Faith sharing helps people to open their eyes to Jesus. That's what he says. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And glory is always about making visible the power and presence of God. Think through the Gospels. How many people have their eyes opened by Jesus literally? People who were blind from birth open their eyes and recognize Christ. How many people have their eyes opened symbolically by the coming of Jesus? We read not long ago in celebrating the conversion of St. Paul, how he became blind and then his sight was restored as he grew in Christ-likeness as a disciple of Jesus. Before we share our faith, we have to remember back to that time whenever we opened our eyes to Christ. When Christ opened those eyes, when God gave us the gift of sight to receive the truth of Jesus. Sharing our faith means telling the world that in Jesus we find our completeness, our whole fulfillment, that all our expectations are met in him. There's a saying, somebody told me earlier about a trip to Rome, there is a saying that says, "See Rome and die." It's supposed to be one of those things we should all have on our list, things we will achieve in our lives. See Rome and die. I heard a more local version, Northern Irish version, that stands alongside it, "See Newry and mourn." Which I think is a little bit unkind to friendly mourn, and there are mourn men here, I think, this morning as well. For Simeon, it was a case of, see Jesus, life is complete. Now, if people, and you've seen the news this week, if people can get excited to queue for 18 hours to get tickets for Garth Brooks at Croke Park, then imagine the fulfillment that comes. Whenever you've hoped for centuries for the arrival of the promised Savior, and then you embrace that truth. And for Simeon, it was to take that truth, that saving one, into his arms, the promised, realized Messiah. Simeon and Anna spent their time in the temple. They didn't just queue for hours. They spent years waiting, a lifetime, because they knew that they would see the fulfillment of God's promises. They knew what they were looking for. They may not have expected it to come in the form that it did, in the person of Christ as a baby. But they knew him when they saw him, and that was the thing that made the difference. Luke writes of Anna, "She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel." There's a tendency these days to be very hesitant in making commitments because we have this thing in the back of our heads that says something better will come along. So people won't buy a new computer or a new phone because they keep thinking, well, the next model will be out very soon. or they won't buy a new car because it's been announced that a newer version will be about to be released. Whenever Simeon and Anna meet Jesus, they realize it's time to turn to him because nothing better will ever come along. Nothing better ever can. So why wait to make a commitment to him? Which brings us to the last point, that sharing our faith means choosing to be on Jesus' side. And as it were, presenting people with that choice themselves. Simeon didn't just address words to God that day as he used his prophetic gifting. He also spoke to Mary. And he said to her, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Verse 34. Simeon welcomes the Savior, but he also gives this warning, that the coming of Jesus means that eyes will be opened, but also hearts will be exposed. That Jesus' message and ministry will be divisive. That people will have to choose where they stand in relation to Jesus. There's no neutrality. And authentic ministry, authentic sharing of our faith, will have the same effect. Must help people to come to a point of decision, to make a choice. Simeon's insight reminds us that the gospel is the whole gospel, not just Christmas, not just Jesus as a baby, but Christ on the cross and the resurrection too. All the fulfillment of God's plan. And that having even heard that good news, not all people will welcome Jesus. Not all people will turn to him. That it is divisive in that way. The arrival of Jesus in his temple, the temple that he was going to make obsolete because he would be the ultimate sacrifice, tells us a lot about the salvation he brings. Even on that day, on that glimpse into his life and ministry, we see that Christ's coming is good news for all kinds of people, for young and old, for Jew, for Gentile, for poor people, for shepherds, prophets, righteous people, sinful people. It's good news for people in all kinds of places. It's good news in Israel in the first century. Good news in Marilyn and Dollingstown. Good news for all time, first century and 21st century. Simeon literally took Jesus into his arms and looked at his Savior. We can receive him by faith into our lives today. For us, it will mean the implications of this chapter, telling people about our meeting with Jesus, how he opened our eyes, how he made our lives complete, how he touched us in a way that nothing else ever had and nothing else ever can. And then calling others in God's grace and love to make a choice. In conclusion, we're going to see on the screens Simeon's words. They're in the more modern form of the canticle Nunc Dimittis from the prayer book. But as we think about these words, and I'll read them simply very slowly, can we think about our own testimony, our own story about our encounter of Jesus? Or perhaps today we're realizing we haven't met him, but we need to. And there will be prayer ministry folks available to help at the close of the service. But I wonder, have we found our completeness in Jesus? Has he made our lives whole? Knowing we have received this hope in Christ, could we say, like Simeon, "Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, the glory of your people Israel." Amen. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we pray that in this month when we have set aside time to learn more and to practice more the sharing of our faith, that you would equip us by your Spirit. Turn on, as it were, in our lives the tap once again. May we overflow with joy and fulfillment in Jesus as we share the good news of his saving power. For we ask it in his name. Amen.